802.97.5, The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10, 610-632-0975. Football is back. We are about 18 minutes away from kickoff for the NFL 2020 kickoff with the Chiefs and the Texans tonight. But our next guest on the line is here to talk about what's going on Sunday, and that will be with the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Washington with no fans. There are about 16,000 fans in the place tonight with the Chiefs and the Texans. But joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, my friend, my brother from NBC Sports Philadelphia, the analyst on the pre- and post-game show, two-time Emmy winner, and, you know, co-host of Breakfast with Brothers, Brothers with the Breakfast, whatever we used to call it here when we used to do the show together. What's up, B?
We talk about the blue line, baby.
Right, exactly. We did that, too. Yeah, what's going on, man?
Everything good, man. Everything's good. We got football. I'm about to watch football, and we got an Eagles game on Sunday. Life can't get any better right now.
Absolutely, bro. Man. Well, look, let's just start right here. The big story, of course, over like the last week and a half has been when Brandon Brooks, of course, went down, Jason Peters comes back. You and I talked about all of this stuff in the offseason when you joined the show. He then returns. We know he's going to play right guard. Then Andre Dillard, your favorite offensive lineman, he goes down, and you need somebody to kick out to the left side. That will be Jason Peters. And then the money thing came up. At the end of the day, it all worked out. He's back on the left side. Do you feel like at this point, with all the stuff that has happened in general, do you feel like he can hold up on the left side for 16 games?
Well, at this point, that's going to be the most optimal offensive line you can have. It's Jason Peters at the left tackle position. You know, I really didn't care if Andre Dillard was healthy enough to play. There's no way you could tell me that a healthy Andre Dillard, 100%, is better than even a 70% Jason Peters. I mean, you have to have him in the lineup at the left tackle position. And then you put Matt Pryor in at the right guard position. Now we have, what, four-fifths of that starting offensive line from last year? You can run the ball. You can pass the ball with that lineup. They're not going to miss a beat. As long as Jason Peters stays healthy and we get Lane back playing this week, we'll be all good on the offensive line. You know, everybody's, you know, doom and gloom right now. Just chill out a little bit. Chill out a little bit. They will be fine at the offensive line. In fact, if you're going to, you know, we would have had to push the line protection over to Andre Dillard to help him. Now, if you really look at it, you can still do that to help Jason Peters. Now you're helping a Pro Bowler. So, I mean, this offense will run great with those guys in there. Matt Pryor's done enough to show me that he can be a player out there. So, yes, I'm good with it.
What does he do best at the right guard spot, Matt Pryor, for the Birds filling in for Brooks?
Occupy space. He's a big kid, man. That's all he has to do is occupy space. Don't give ground, occupy space. I mean, you don't even have to come off the ball really as a run blocker when you have a guy that's that big, you know, with the skill set that Jason Kelce has. It puts you in a position now that you can move guys on off the line in the run game. And then in the pass game, you just can't get around him. He's just a big guy. You can't get around him.
All right, again, you know, Barrett Brooks, of course, longtime NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champ with the Pittsburgh Steelers, said the Eagles' offensive line will be just fine. Let's all relax. And as we continue to look at the offensive side of the football, man, here we know the quarterback, Carson Wentz, coming back. Hopefully we get another full 16 out of him this year. With the added weapons that he has, how do you look at this season for him? Will you look at more of a 2017 type of year with the MVP, or like last season in 2019 campaign where he struggled a bit, picked up late? Where do you see Carson Wentz coming back for, what is this, year number four now for him?
He's going into his fifth year.
And
I think the biggest thing with Carson going into this year, that he learned something. He learned he didn't just have to focus on Zachers being his only line that he could, you know, go to during difficult times during the game. He always wanted to go to Zach Ertz. Now he showed that, all right, not only can I go to Zach Ertz, but I now have a Dallas Goedert I can go to. I now have guys, you know, create separation, you know, with Greg Ward Jr. I mean, we're not even talking about this kid, but he was able to go out there and play in an offense the last four games, create separation, and allow that team to win the last four games to get to the playoffs. Carson Wentz learned that he can now, you know, go out there and manufacture an offense, even though he didn't have the deep threats that he has this year. Now he has a legitimate take-the-top-off receiver in D-Jax. If he's healthy, you have to respect his speed, which is going to pull somebody out of the box. Now you can run the ball with a light box with now your bell cow back with Sanders, it gives you an opportunity now to open up the middle of the field. Now Zach Ertz and Goddard can work in. Because, I mean, that thing, that's going to be the number one personnel package they're going to have is 12 personnel. One tight end, I mean, one running back and two tight ends. Those two can control it. They're probably the best tandem in the league as far as tight ends, which will open up everything for now Jalen Reagor, who practiced today, full practice. And now on the outside, you got D-Jack. This is going to be an offense, you know, that they get it going. They're going to be really good, you know, towards the middle of the season.
Bab Brooks, NBC Sports Philadelphia, longtime NFL offensive lineman, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Barrett, sticking with the offense that you just mentioned, Miles Sanders, year number two. He was fantastic his rookie year, really established himself when Jordan Howard went down and handled the reins as the key, the bell cow, if you will, at the running back spot. Right now, looking at year number two for him, can he hold up? And if so, ideally, how many touches would you like to see him have?
Now, he's going to have to run. They're going to have him run in well-balanced offense. And in order for him to do that, he has to be the guy that's going to be in the game. If I want him to go out there and be in all the personnel packages. See, when you go with that running back by committee, it kind of pigeonholes you into running specific plays for specific running backs. And defense is key into it. It makes you too predictable as an offense. And, you know, so when you have Sanders in there, first down, second down, third down, and even fourth down. Now it's hard for the defense to really pick what type of personnel package they're going to want on the field. Because you knew when you had like a guy like LeGarrette Blount in there, he's going to be running through the tackles, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Then when you bring Sproles in there, Sproles is a guy that, you know, he's going to be one of the third down backs. So they're going to put in their nickel personnel. You can't be that, you know, obvious as far as your personnel packages to put the defense and let them guess more accurately what type of offense you're going to run. When you have Sanders in there and he's running every play, then it gives you autonomy now to be very open in what you want to run as an offense, because he can run it between the tackles. He can get the hard yards, the third and two. He's big enough, but he can also catch out of the backfield with Texas routes and, you know, little angle routes and wheel routes. So there'll be a more balanced offense because you can't pick out what they're going to do. So that's why I say I wanted that bell cow type of back, the back that, you know, he trusts. And that's exactly what I talk. When I talk to coach, that's exactly what Doug Peterson said. I want a guy that I could trust, because you're going to need a guy like that in November when it's cold outside. And when you get to playoff situations, you're going to need that back to really take over a game. And he really feels as though he has that back in Miles Sanders.
I can't wait to see it. And quickly, just before we get to the defensive side, do you feel like they have enough at the running back position with Scott and Clement behind them?
I tell you what, Clement really showed me a little bit in camp. Clement's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot faster. I think he's a more encompassing back now. I think he's going to do well at being that back. That if they do have him come in, he could be more versatile in what he brings to the table. He's not just a guy that catches screen plays and runs draws. He can do a lot more. He can run it between the practice. He showed me a little something this year that he didn't have, you know, previous years.
Okay. All right. And on the other side, man, they finally went out. As you know, we know the defensive front is phenomenal. Adding Hargrave, getting a healthy Fletcher Cox back, and Derek Barnett. We'll see what happens with him. You know how I feel about him. And Malik Jackson, as you stated before, kicking out sometimes to the left side. But they finally go out there, Barrett, and they get themselves a number one corner. How important is that with Darius Slay being here with that front four, and now no Malcolm Jenkins, having that number one corner to shut down that receiver on the other side?
We're going to be able to breathe easier now. We finally have guys that can come in and cover. I mean, Ronald Darby, I mean, he just wasn't physical enough to be that type of cornerback. You know, he would get deboed by, you know, receivers like Parker from Miami. They would just jump over him. They now have guys that can go out and run the type of defenses that, you know, Coach Schwartz wants. If they have a number one receiver, a guy that's going to really go out there and ball, they now have a shutdown corner they could put on him. Big play Slay can now shut that guy down. And then they have versatility at the guys on the outside. I've always thought Avante Maddox was the best cover guy we had the past 2 years. Having one on one side, we have Roby Coleman at that slot. And even if they do go out there and he has and Big Play Slay has to follow the best receiver, they now have, you know, guys that could be interchangeable. They could switch flip-flop on both sides. They couldn't do that first. You know, they were just one-sided. And with the addition of Jalen Mills being at his natural position, which is like a nickel or safety type of player, he can really go out there and dictate the tempo as far as being that guy that you can put anywhere on the field We're not going to say at Malcolm Jenkins level yet, but he will eventually be that guy. He was an average corner with speed. I think he's going to be an above average safety with the speed he has at the safety position.
Okay. And you like Avante Maddox as the second corner starting opposite Slay?
Absolutely. He's a dog out there. He's going to be physical, and that's all you want. You want somebody to compete. And, you know, just like I played with Mighty Mouse for 3 years, you know, Mark McMillan went out there and he dictated tempo. He wanted to go out there and show you with a chip on his shoulder that he can play. Well, Avante Maddox has that same type of dog in him. He'll compete. I think he'll go out there and he'll be doing fine as far as being a guy that can shut down that number two receiver.
All right, and Barrett, how do you feel overall about this team in the NFC East? Can they take the crown in the NFC East? And how much of a challenge, of course, are the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, it's going to be a tale of two seasons. I mean, the beginning of this season, there's going to be nobody that's going to look right. I mean, teams won't get their identity probably till their fourth or fifth game on who they are and what they bring to the table as a team. But as they, you know, get more and more into it, all those guys, you know, will learn the culture of what McCarthy wants in Dallas. So give them an opportunity, you know, to get better also. They got a new defensive coordinator to learn the defense. And they have some guys that can rush the passer. So, I mean, they're going to be a formidable offense. I mean, they had defense and they had, you know, Kellen Moore was their offensive coordinator last year. So it'll be kind of familiar with what they're trying to do there. But at the end of the day, we all know in this division, this is going to be a very competitive division between the two of them, the Eagles and Dallas. And at this point, I really put my money on this Eagles team because I think they're more suited to beat the Dallas team. Now that they have some defensive backs to cover those receivers, it won't be as easy as it was the years past. They're not throwing against Rasul Douglas anymore. They have a guy that can cover Amari Cooper now, which kind of evens the playing field now. Now you just can't go out there and run play action on them now because they have a guy to cover them now. So, I mean, it's really going to be a great, great division this year as far as, you know, with Dallas and the Eagles, you know, going head-to-head. And I think the winner of the second game is really going to be the team that's going to eventually go to the playoffs.
Okay, and you said teams will be kind of behind 4 or 5. You really get to see the real team of whoever it might be, the Eagles, Chiefs, whoever it may be. Is that because of the pandemic and the lack of preseason games?
It was already bad football, you know, even the past 5 years,
okay,
with, you know, teams resting their starters,
right,
and not, you know, even in the preseason. So they really didn't get to where they needed to be as offenses and defenses until like the fourth or fifth game where they gained their identity. Well, this year might be even worse because nobody had any preseason games. Nobody knows what they're good at. They've been practicing against each other. They haven't had real live snap, real live bullets against anybody else but themselves. So we'll see what this Eagles team is and what, you know, what they amount to, and all the other teams in the NFL will be the same way. Until they figure out who they are, what their identity is, it's going to be an up and down season. And I'm anxious to see, you know, who's really turned the corner as far as the team in this division. I mean, say what you want to say, Judge and with the Giants. I mean, he's taking them back to high school football, running them if they do something wrong. I mean, come on. Now, you got grown men out there, you know. You can't run guys like that. But then you do have a veteran coach with this Washington team. But, you know, I mean, also with Jack Del Rio being their defensive coordinator, that's the strength of their team. So their defense is going to be good. So it's going to be a very defensive-minded game this week on Sunday. The two defenses are really going to dictate who wins the game. But at the end of the day, I like our quarterback better than their quarterback. So I think we'll gain our identity a little faster than most of the teams in this division.
Yeah, and before you let us go, just preview what you think about the Eagles and Washington on Sunday.
It's going to be a tough victory, you know. I mean, it's almost like you have to go with the under because the offense is, you know, they don't know what they could do against the team because they've only practiced against themselves. So just because we have our head coach and he's been here the last 5 years and they really know who Doug is, I'm going to go with Doug. And I mean, it's not going to blow them out or anything, but I do think they win by 7.
Okay. All right. I like that. And what are you guys doing for the pregame, pre and postgame show? You guys, of course, NBC Sports Philly, you, Michael Barkan, Ray Dittinger, and our friend Seth Joyner. How is this going to work?
Well, man, we're just going to we actually social distance in the in the studios. I won't be close to those guys. You know, we'll be spread out apart, you know, and then, you know, we still going to give you that same fire. We're going to tell you the truth, nothing but the truth. But at the end of the day, we also going to tell you, hey, whether this team is going to be yay or nay, this Eagles team has to go out there and show us something because, hey, it's getting kind of tight for a lot of players on this team and a lot of different contracts. They're going to have to really cipher out because You know, it's a lot of money being over the cap. So I can't wait, man. I just can't wait to see what's going to go on. And we're definitely going to give it to you. You know, you don't Ray doesn't hold any punches back. Ray Diggins is going to tell you the truth and give you stats behind it. You got, you know, Seth, his glass is halfway full. My glass is halfway empty. And then you got our point guard and Michael Barkan.
Absolutely, man. Everybody in studio or do you guys have to Zoom some? Because I know Seth is in Arizona.
Yeah, he's going to zoom from Arizona, man.
Okay.
He's going to zoom from Arizona, man.
All right,
man.
Well, listen, man, I can't wait to see how it is. I cannot check you out until the post game because I will be doing the pregame show, of course, so I'll check in with you afterwards, man. B, thanks.
Oh, you got a great crew there with you, too, man. Hey, I heard man, the crew, man, so I can't wait, bro.
Yeah, man.
I know.
They don't know yet.
I'm not saying anything. I know, but you got a great crew. You guys going to be all right, man. I'm kind of jealous. I
want to
be on the crew.
Oh, man, well, listen, you got a great crew yourself. Thanks so much as always, man, and we will check in with you soon. Appreciate it.
Definitely, Devon. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, Barrett. Appreciate it. Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Always, always enjoy.
Well, what are you hiding? You know the special guest is me.
Yes. I didn't want to tell everybody. I knew Barrett and Tyler talking before, you know, and all of that. But look, man, it's going to be fun. And they do a great job. So when I do rush back and watch the game afterwards, of course, I turn things on here for Jamie and Andrew. But then, you know, while I'm listening during his drive back with Pat and Tyrone, I when I get back to and watch it after the game, I make sure that I would check into the post game show. So I look forward to watching them as always and seeing what those guys have to say. It's always a blast. So we thank everybody for hanging on. 610-632-0975. Let's go. Great stuff from Barrett again. And hopefully we'll have him on more. Actually, need to talk to him about that. But, you know, we'll see. Let's go to Chuck in Las Vegas next on the Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, Devon?
How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. It's the start of the season. It's like, you know, Christmas morning. At least that's what it should feel like. I guess my enthusiasm has been thwarted a little bit. With COVID and Howie Roseman doing some things that I didn't agree with. But, you know, hey, it's the start of the season and we should be excited.
No, man, everybody has every right to be excited. And that's why I said it again when we started things off, Chuck, we can have our conversations and we can pick things apart with this team. But the optimism that everyone likes to walk into a season. When you do have a good football team, we don't know that they're great. We didn't know that they were great in 17 when they won it. But and we got ahead of ourselves maybe in 18 and even 19 when we predicted that they would still have an opportunity to win it one more time. That being said, man, there's a lot to like about this football team. And that's why we decided, hey, let's talk about what's going to be really good about this squad. Let's focus on the good about this team as we get closer now 3 days away to the start of the season.
Yeah, so if you want to talk good, I mean, first of all, I'm a big Carson Wentz fan, and I like what we did contract-wise. I know people are worried about, I think, what was it, $34 million a year. It sounds outrageous, but take a look around the league. Deshaun Watson got an extension, $40 million a year. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, he's in a class by himself, but he's, what, $50 million a year, something outrageous.
Right.
Dak Prescott is coming up on the market, and, you know, he's if they have a good year, the Cowboys are going to have to shell out to give Dak a big contract. So, well, I mean, look, I like our quarterback situation, obviously. And as I was waiting on hold, Devon, I was thinking a lot about Dallas Goedert and using more of the 12 personnel. You know, we're weak at receiver.
Yes.
Our line is banged up. You know, let's utilize the strength of our team, which is our tight end. And, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, no, you just heard Barrett say it. They're going to use a lot of 12 personnel, especially when you know that, look, bringing back Jason Peters was important because you need someone that you can trust on the outside. But that being said, he's not the Hall of Famer any longer. You can just trust him. And with that, they're probably going to send some extra help with those tight ends, right, to have it out there, not only for the passing situations, but also for the run game as well, mm-hmm. right? So will you have that extra body over there for them? So, man, I mean, listen, I look at things, and you're going to see a lot of Goddard. You're going to see a lot of Ertz out there on that along the offensive line, and certainly when they are able to leak out and do the things that they do with their hands and catching in the open field, man. So it's going to be – We have a lot to look forward to with those guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And defensively, just real quick, I mean, I like what we did. I like everything that we did defensively other than, losing Malcolm. I know he won a lot of money, but I'm not comfortable with Mills at safety. But, you know, we did bring in Darius Slay. And my guy on defense is to watch is Javon Hargrave. I think he was he was probably the best acquisition that no one seems to be talking about. I think he's really going to bolster that defensive line, which was already formidable. And I like where we are. I still think we're a 9 or 10 win team, but it's the start of the season. And we're there. You know, we're a division contender. So
I like it.
It'll be exciting.
I like
and,
it.
Yeah, for my Super Bowl pick, I'll go Steelers and Seahawks.
Ooh, Steelers.
To avoid being shocked, yeah.
Okay, you got it, man. Chuck, as always, thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon during the season. Hey, Nate, quick break. We come right back. We get you right up and give you all your time, man. I promise. We had Barron on. Of course, we took Chuck. Nate, when you come back, I know you want to yell about Philip Rivers in the conversation that we had a little bit earlier with Troy. So we'll get to that. We'll get your thoughts on the birds as well. And anybody had anything on what Barron had to say, feel free again, 610-632-0975, and some Flyers news as well that Tyler's going to give us right here when we return on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, look at that. It is 8:31 on a Thursday night. Thursday night football, the kickoff of the NFL season. Texans and Chiefs. Look, we know we're not naive here. We know that many people will be tuning into that game. We're not dumb. We know how this is not the Philadelphia Eagles. We know many people will be watching the game, and we understand. We have a job to do, and we're going to continue to do that job while you watch the game, while Tyler keeps an eye on the game, because I want Tyler to let me know until I'm able to watch it during the commercial breaks because of, again, my view in the studio here is obstructed because of the cameras that we have for the show that Mike does, of course, 2 to 6. I cannot see the television, so I don't know what it looks like in terms of the stands and the fans. So I know we're about to have Nate on, and I know Nate is probably watching the game as well. So we'll get in an idea of what it looks like in the stadium, what we are going to get ourselves into as football fans watching this. And what was the number? 16,000?
17,000.
What was the percentage?
Yeah, 22%.
22% for Kansas City, okay. And we know in Washington on Sunday, no fans for the Washington Eagles football game. So this is something new. Right now, as I peek around this camera here, it looks normal because I just see football players. I cannot see the stands. So that looks okay to me.
Well, and I think, too, the camera angle is they're going to keep the camera angle such that it's a little tighter.
Is it tighter?
Yeah, it's a little tighter to the field.
Okay.
That you're not going to get as much. But it's not terribly. Like, if you weren't looking for it, I don't think you would spend too much time noticing it.
Okay. All right. Bet. Before we get to it, Nate, your Super Bowl matchup is what?
My Super Bowl matchup this year is I've kind of gone back and forth with the AFC. The NFC, I feel like I've had pinpointed since the day after the Super Bowl. And I know that for the most part, losers of the Super Bowl have a really difficult time not only getting back to the Super Bowl, but making the playoffs the next year. Things get really difficult. I think this 49ers team is kind of anti that. They're kind of proof from missing the playoffs this season. I think they're going to make another deep run. I have the 49ers as well getting back to the Super Bowl. But for me, I think that it is really difficult, like we said about getting to the Super Bowl, really difficult to win back-to-back Super Bowl. So I think that the Chiefs don't even make it this year. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I've really liked what they've done in the offseason.
Yeah,
you get Calais Campbell for basically nothing.
My goodness.
Their draft was fantastic.
Yep.
I think that Lamar in his second full season as the Ravens quarterback is just going to get better. And until they figure out a way to stop him, he's the most electrifying player in the NFL, not named Pat Mahomes. So for me, I'm going to go with the 49ers and the Ravens. And I've not come to a conclusion on who I think wins that game. Leaning San Francisco.
Okay. All right. I have San Francisco and the Chiefs, a rematch of last season. Tyler has Baltimore and San Francisco. I would not mind that one either. All right, 610-632-0975. We have some Flyers news, but let's go to Nate first, who's been hanging on. He hung on through the conversation with Bear Brooks, and we appreciate it. So let's go to Nate right now. What's up, Nate?
I'm going to be brief, bro, because I'm sitting in the cave watching this.
Are you watching? All right, so tell us, what does it look like? Because I can't really see it.
Like Tyler said, it's tight. They got the camera tight to the field. So you really, normally you get to see all the coaches and the players on the sideline. It's so tight that you really not really seeing. You can't even really see the coaches when they pan to the field. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sideline to sideline. But, bro, when they pan up in the stands, you know, Arrowhead has red seats. Everybody in the stands got red jerseys on. So it looks like there's a lot of people there. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's blending in. But you can see it in the stands. There's people there, but it looked the same to me.
It looked
bro.
The same, yeah, right. Yeah. It's probably just more of the people who are actually in there versus us watching it on television.
Right. Right, you know, you probably panning around and people in there like, oh man, look at all that section over there empty and it's empty over here. But us looking at it on TV, I'm like, nah, it's not really. I don't really see any difference.
It's football.
Yeah, that's what it is basically. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right, cool.
But you're right. Phillip Rivers is done. Get him out of here. I don't know what my man was talking about. Phillip Rivers is over with, bro. He was lucky to get 27 or whatever million he got from. The Colts, I would have kept Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, I mean, I don't even think I would have took that route with Phillip Rivers. Touchdown! Wow, look at this, man. Kansas City going to be on fire this year, bro. I'm not even going to deny it before it even starts.
Just to let people know, Kansas City just scored 6-play drive, 65 yards, 3 minutes they took, and right away, is that Mecole Hardman? No, who is that?
No.
Oh, Robinson.
Robinson.
Oh, man.
It's crazy, man. They just got an arsenal of receivers that just sprint right down the field and run past. Look, he blew right past this guy like it was nothing. But okay. But listen. Right,
Pat Mahomes is good.
He's a monster. Me and you on the same page, bro. I think if Barnett is healthy, bro, that's the MVP of this team if he's healthy. If he's healthy, I mean, he can get you at least 11 sacks, 10 to 11 sacks this year. He got to have a heck of a comeback.
He has to be consistent. He needs to have that year, man. He needs to have that year where we're like, okay, all right, he has arrived.
Well,
and we haven't had that yet.
Nope. And you've seen flashes of it. It just hasn't hit yet. Besides injuries and then, I mean, these dudes being mad at him, not giving him. Yeah, it's just. He has to get it together this year. It has to be the year that we say, yo, this was the number one pick, and he came in and got a ring his first year. Like, that should drive you even more. Like, oh, man, I got a Super Bowl ring my first year coming in. So, yeah, man, I just want him to succeed this year. I'm also taking the Ravens to beat the Chiefs out for the championship. Bro.
Okay.
I think the Ravens will beat them out for that. On the NFC side, man, and I'm a diehard Bird fan, but I just think this year it just might be Russell Wilson's year to get there, bro.
Ooh. Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, that receiver he got out there, that young boy, Metcalf, is a monster, bro. He's a monster.
Yeah, he is, and that's why a lot of people look at J.J. Arcega-Whiteside side-eyed because he is not here.
He didn't take you over him? Like, come on, bro. There's no way he should have did that.
Nah,
he might have to pay for that one for the rest of his time here, bro.
Well, we'll see, man.
Turns out to be a bust.
We'll see, man. Yeah, well, look, man, enjoy the game. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. So enjoy the game, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, I told you game seven.
Yes, you did. Game seven, Raptors and Celtics tomorrow. That's going to be a good one. No doubt, man. Appreciate it. All right, man. You got it. 610-632-0975. So just to reset, as Nate gave us San Francisco and Baltimore, like Tyler, a good matchup. He also threw in there Derek Barnett. And before I get to Derek Barnett, let's tell people who may not have heard, just getting in their cars, just turning us on, what we were doing tonight. To Philadelphia Eagles, of course, start on Sunday. The NFL gets underway tonight, which they are right now, Kansas City and the Houston Texans, game one of the NFL season. And we wanted to know from everybody getting ready for the season, 3 days away now from the start of the football season for the Philadelphia Eagles. Every year we do this. It's our annual conversation about your key player from each side of the ball. Who is the key player from each side of the ball for you offensively and defensively? Where are you? We've gotten DeSean Jackson, Fletcher Cox, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Jalen Mills twice, Hightower, Maddox, Moorhead went a little bit out of the box there. D went and Uptown went to Moorhead, Hargrave, Barnett we just got from Nate as well. So these are the types of things that we're asking you to give your key player from each side of the football for the Philadelphia Eagles season. All right, one of each from each side, 610-632-0975. And when you call in, Chiefs are playing the Texans right now. The touchdown was wiped out. He did not retain possession of the football once he got into the end zone. And right now, the Chiefs are going back on the offensive side with a second and 10, I believe. Did Tyreek Hill have space? Okay.
Tyreek Hill always has space.
He always has space. Second and 10 here. But we want to ask you what your Super Bowl prediction is for the start of the season, of course, before the season really gets underway on Sunday. 610-632-0975.
By the way, totally unrelated to tonight's game in the NFL, we do have some Flyers breaking.
I wouldn't call it breaking anymore.
It's been a while, but Sean Couturier has officially been named the 2020 Selke Award winner. Obviously, that goes to the best, you know, the two-way forward, best defensive forward, whoever plays on that 200 sheet
and
of ice.
That's not
the
a
best.
Surprise.
And by the way, it wasn't close. Of the, just trying to do a quick estimation here on the numbers, of the what looks to be about 160 first place votes, he got 117 of them. So he got 1,424 points. The next highest was Patrice Bergeron of Boston. He had 884. Five different guys got winning first place votes, basically.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a plan, man. Good for him. Well deserved. We knew that he was going to get recognized for his play this year. Best player on the team. Especially when you look at, like you just said, the two-way guy in the NHL and how good of a season that he actually had. So, yeah, I again, not a surprise in that regard. 610-632-0975 as we talk about the Birds. They're back at it, man. They get back at it. We're taking some of these tweets here quickly. Scott on Twitter says, I honestly have to go with the Saints. They know Drew Brees is all but done and they are desperate to make one final push. So that's Drew Brees, another vote for the Saints on Twitter from Scott. Dylan Ushler, the X factor for the Birds this season is Dallas Goedert because he is trying to beat out Ertz for the job and the money. It's interesting because I don't think they can pay both of them. Sleeper is Sean Bradley for the Birds. Eagles win the division going 10-6. Super Bowl prediction, KC and Seattle. KC repeats. Arizona is a sleeper, and I made a mistake. I said San Francisco for Nate. He said Seattle. Russell Wilson gets back there against Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. So that's Dylan. Again, Dallas Goedert as the key to the Eagles offense, trying to get that job and that money. Sean Bradley on the defensive side. That's interesting because right now we look at him as a special teamer more than we do as an actual linebacker for the Birds. But that's it. That's it. Again, outside the box name from Dylan here, and he also says the Birds are going to win the division at 10-6 in the NFC East.
You go back to what Nate said about Russell Wilson, by the way. I put this out. There was a question on Twitter. you know, a while back. It was, you know, right after the season had ended, basically. And it asked who you thought was going to be the best team, who you thought was going to be the worst team, and who you thought was going to be the MVP. I think Russell Wilson wins the MVP this season. And if people stay true to form about what the MVP truly means, because I think the NFL does a better job for the most part about what the MVP means than most other leagues. Without Russell Wilson, the Seahawks are definitely not a playoff team.
I like that.
With Russell Wilson, they are still a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Right.
I think he wins the MVP this year.
I like that one. I like that one. Yeah, I like that one. Okay. That's pretty good, man. 610-632-0975 as we again talk Birds. Russell Wilson as the MVP. I could see that. And you look at a step up in play for Metcalf. If you believe that year number two for him is going to be another positive, you still have Lockett out there to do the things that he does, the variety of running backs. They use, what, 18 running backs? We know Carson, but 18 running backs for that team. He has total control of that offense. And Russell Wilson is just a fantastic player, man. And you hope that Carson Wentz just has that type of command of the offense the same way that Russell Wilson has in Seattle. If you're able to get that type of command from Carson Wentz the way that Wilson has the command for versus the Seattle with the Seattle Seahawks, then we're talking about something. We're talking about something with the Seattle Seahawks, of course, but with the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz. It's crazy how you look at 2017 and you look at now where he is, and, you know, we know the injuries have happened, the ACL mainly, and how things are just so different. And the way people look at him, how they feel about him. And I still think that guy is very good. The very first one that we got, of course, was Carson Wentz in terms of who needs to be a key for this team. Was that Mitch who said Carson Wentz at the very top, just mentioning?
Yeah, me too.
Carson Wentz and you as well.
Yeah.
And no, it was you. It wasn't even Mitch. Mitch was talking about the Super Bowl and all. He is extremely important.
He has to be.
He's the most important player in general on this team.
On the team.
And I know, we know. Quarterbacks, that's the case all of the time. But with the up and down nature of his career so far, success, but injured. Bad season coming off the injury. Questions within the locker room. Now the report from Jeff McClain that was talked about on the station today, and he came on with Anthony, and the story that Jeff McClain wrote about the communication in the front office and the ownership with the coach and Carson Wentz also having a voice. You want him to have a voice, but you also just simply want him to be in control of what's going on the football field. Most importantly, you want him to feel comfortable with what the offense is. And at the end of the day, he must feel important in order for this team to have the success, the type of success that we think they are capable of having. We really do. And that guy is good. That guy is really good. Okay? He is really good. So, just looking at who he is, their progression, the growth that we talk about with all of these young players, and if he is going to be that type of star player in this city, be the face of this organization going forward. Now with them going out there and selecting, okay, going out there and selecting a quarterback in the second round when he needed more weapons, I expect a big time season from Carson Wentz. And that's only fair. That's only fair to ask of that from your franchise quarterback.
Of course it is.
That's only fair with... While we wanted more weapons, they did go and get him weapons. While you have enough there, he needs to carry. He needs to do things to really put this team on his shoulders, along with other... This is a team thing, but the quarterback is the quarterback.
Well, and it's totally fair to expect big things and have high expectations. We had the same for McNabb. And even when the conversation was, okay, Andy Reid didn't get him any pieces again this year. Andy Reid didn't get him any weapons this year. We still expected a high caliber performance from Donovan McNabb every season, whether it was James Thrash or Todd Pinkston or Freddie Mitchell, whomever it was, we still expected big things. We can expect those same things from Carson Wentz.
And it's only fair. It's only fair for us to look at them in that way. 610-632-0975. We want to squeeze in a Flyers call here along with our football conversation. So let's sneak in Jason, who just checked in with Couturier and also wants to talk about the Eagles as well. Jason, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, this great Couturier. Congratulations. That's awesome. You guys recognize. Just talking
You're breaking up a little bit, Jay. You said forgot to congratulate who?
Hold on.
You know what, man? Let's put you on hold, Jay. Ty, can you, you know, as best as you can. I know there's not much you really can do. But, Jason, you hung up. If you call back, man, we'll get you right in. We really couldn't hear you. The only thing we heard was the congratulations to Sean Couturier, which, of course, absolutely, congratulations to him on that award. An honor, certainly, for him. And, you know, hey, that's what it was. Disappointing end to the season for the team. But individually, while we did not see enough from Couturier and others in the postseason, you still look at them, look at the situation and say they did a fantastic job this year. Yes, we were not happy about how it ended. No, individually, he was phenomenal. And the recognition that he is getting with this particular award is well deserved for him and the team overall. It's a team game. Individuals get theirs, but he had a phenomenal year. 610-632-0975. As we talk about the NFL, we talk about the Eagles and who you feel will be key on the offensive side of the football and the defensive side of the football for the Philadelphia Eagles to have the type of success we expect them to have in this 2020 campaign. We will talk about, again, the guys that we selected to be the keys to success for the Birds. We will get into the Jason Peters update. We will also let you know what Zach Ertz had to say earlier, speaking to the media for the first time before the start of the football season gets underway on Sunday in Washington. 610-632-0975. We'll also tell you about our great Fanatic football pool to get you involved starting on Monday. So when we come right back, 25 minutes commercial free, we'll take all your phone calls and we will update. You know, we will not ignore. If you are unable to know, watch the score and see what's happening with Kansas City and Houston in the first quarter, we will let you know. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.